Gotta have something to hide my Thanksgiving belly.
I think the angels are high-fiving after the kids sing those songs.
You know, as pastor, you can be
super creative when you tell the Christmas story. I'm not going to do that. I'd like to start the service by simply reading the Christmas story. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. This is the fourth time I've got to do this year, to share this amazing story. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that had taken place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went there to their own towns to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time had come for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. This will be your sign. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great cloud of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they ran off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was living in a manger. While they had seen him, they spread the news, the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just that they had been told. How many times have you heard that story? Who loves Christmas? Yeah. Many walked in this room on cloud nine. I remember being a kid. Christmas was the Super Bowl. I mean, there was not anything more exciting than Christmas. It could not get here soon enough. We had one of those calendars, and we've got one with our kids where you take off, you know, little shepherd and put him up on the calendar. And it seemed like it took forever to get that stupid thing done before presents. Someone here today had a great year. Family's never been better. You got a new job. You got that promotion you finally deserved. Someone here have a new baby, and it's still cute to you. Some found out that you're pregnant. And others cringe at just hearing how great things are for other people because this year wasn't the year they were hoping for. Some walked in this room this morning and find themselves in a difficult season. Finances are tougher than you thought they were going to be, and this time of year is the most difficult time to have tight finances. Some are sitting here that found out they or a family member is chronically ill or has cancer. Some are mourning the loss of a loved one, and around the holidays it's most difficult. Joy to the world
doesn't come naturally to all of us, especially in seasons. And we start asking things, is God near us? Is God near to me? Does God care about me? Can God truly relate to the depths of the sorrows that I'm having? We're going to look at the text this morning and see how many times we can say yes to all those questions. How much He cares, how much He understands what we're going through. And to me, it's easiest to see the depths of God's understanding and love for us when we look at His humanity through Christ. When we look to the manger that held a king and a stable in Bethlehem. But before Christ was born, God's people had to do all they could to get to God. This is an unusual Christmas story this morning. We're going to focus a lot of time in the book of Exodus. And I hope as a church in about 3 to 4 years, we will study the book of Exodus and walk through the book of Exodus and see how it points to the manger, see how it points to the coming king. The good news that a Savior has been born. Because it's in the book of Exodus, especially the last, 15 chapters or so, God is laying out line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, exactly how the tabernacle was to be built. What materials were to be used and what they were to be made out of. And how big and how small everything was. And it all leads up, 15 chapters of this detail leads up to this enormous moment where the tabernacle, God's dwelling place, is finally built. God's dwelling place on earth. And the last couple of details of the tabernacle, they put the mercy seat on top of it to cover it. Set up the veil, which was this huge curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, where God's presence on earth was to God's people. And then in Exodus, you don't have to turn there, they'll be on the screens. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. After 15 chapters of this is how you make it, Moses and Aaron and their sons, they did every last detail in putting up this tabernacle, just as God asked. They put up the mercy seat. They put in the Ten Commandments. They put in the veil separating the Holy of Holies, which is where God was. And in that moment, the presence of the living God fell and filled the tabernacle. The entire book of Exodus leads to this point. The climax where finally the presence of the living God had returned. But there's a problem, isn't there? There's still veils. There's still this separation from us because we are not holy enough to experience a perfectly holy God. We're not holy enough to actually encounter the presence of God. God is close, but we're not righteous enough to be in His presence, which is exactly what He created us to do. God created us so that we could experience His presence, so that we could know Him, so that we could worship Him and enjoy being in His presence forever. This is what we were meant to do. How do we know that? What are we going to be doing when we're in heaven? Face to face with our God. That is what we were designed to do. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They were face to face with God. They got to worship Him. They were doing exactly what God created them to do. And it's something we all crave. We get glimpses in our life of these things that we crave that should point us to God. You ever been in awe? Seen things that take your breath away or heard things that take your breath away? You're going through. Well, this morning, I woke up early and drove to church and just saw an amazing sunrise this morning. You hear that song that puts you back in a place where you heard it for the first time and you're in awe. Driving through the plains of New Mexico and all of a sudden the Rockies are in view and you're in awe. God created us to be in awe of Him. And Adam and Eve had that. Adam and Eve absolutely had that. And sin tore that away. When they sinned, they lost the thing that they were created for. They lost the presence of God. So when God's presence returned, when the tabernacle was created, that's what God's people have been begging for, and all of a sudden God is here. It was amazing. As humans created by God, we were never able to be fulfilled with anything else. We're not able to have true peace, true joy, without being able to be with God, without doing what God created us to do. God created us to be loved by Him. And we as humans, we can do pretty well if you take things away from us. We can get by, but you take love away from us, and we don't do so well. If a child isn't held and loved as a child, that stays with him forever. That's something that always holds on to him. It affects them throughout their whole life. So why are we so hungry for love? Why, as humans, are we so obsessed with love? Look at every movie, every song, every poem. 95% of them, I'm guessing, has to do with love. You and I were created by the author of love, by the one who is love. And by His great love, we were created so that He could demonstrate His love for us. And so that you could love Him perfectly without the hindrance of sin. But we lost that in the garden. To love and worship and to be in the presence of God is what we were created for. And we see the importance of that with the tabernacle, the story of Exodus. It's not a story of God's people being freed from slavery in search of the promised land. But the point is that they could now worship God. They could be close to God. There's a problem with this moment. God has shown up in the tabernacle. He's filled the place, what's called the Holy of Holies. A place where the high priest, only one priest, once a year could go in and make sacrifices for God's people. God filled that place. You know that priest had to wear a bell around him and tie a rope around his ankle in case something happened while he was in there. Nobody could go in and rescue him. They could pull him out. That's how holy of a place this was. And in Exodus, you don't have to turn there, chapter 40, verse 33 through 35. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar, and he put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. And then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's praise God. His presence is here. We finally get to worship Him. But look at verse 35. Here's the problem. Moses, who did all this work, did everything that God told him to, Moses could not enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is the big moment. This is the moment that God's people had waited centuries for, to do what we are created to do. And God fills the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, but Moses couldn't even go in. Sinful man cannot enter the presence of a perfectly holy God. Because God is a just God. And His presence was right there. The deepest longing of our soul was right there. But there was still a veil. And ultimately, there was still the ultimate barrier, which was our sins. But if God was willing to go to this length to bring His presence to His people, what length would He go to remove every barrier, to remove our sin? So that we would not only be able to worship Him, but He could adopt us into His family and we could spend eternity with Him as His children, co-heirs with Christ. The answer is God sent His Son, Emmanuel, God with us. God put on flesh. He put aside His glory and He came to be born in a manger to live a perfect life so that veil could be torn. So nothing could separate us from God. And we could do one better than walk into the Holy of Holies. But the Holy of Holies can live in us. Think about that. There was a curtain that separated God from His people because we're not holy enough. Now God lives literally within us. We don't have to have a place where we go and worship Him. But He lives in us. John chapter 1, verse 9. I really want to focus in on verse 14. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming to the world. He was in the world and through the word world, He was made through Him. The world did not recognize Him. Verse 11. He came to that which is His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh. And this is amazing. By the way, the Word here is Jesus. Jesus became flesh and made His dwelling among us. He filled us like God filled the tabernacle. We have seen His glory. I don't want to skate past this. We have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For those that don't know me well, I have three boys. One of them, unfortunately, was holding a doll up here and not singing. I can't keep up with them. But one thing I learned pretty quickly as a father is you get home from a long day of working, and if you're anything like me, you try to find your spot on the couch, sit down, and think about nothing for like 15, 20 minutes. Like that is my, if I can not think about anything, just nothing, for 15 or 20 minutes, it's great. I feel like I earned it. I worked hard all day and I get to come home and I've earned that time, but I learned something. My kids didn't like that. I get home and they wanted to play with me. They wanted to see Dad. And for a while, I ignored them and went and sat down. I earned that, right? One day, I got down on the floor and wrestled with them. The next day, I came home, opened the door. My son, Porter, Daddy's home! He wanted to wrestle. So we wrestled. And made that a tradition. Every time I come home and we wrestle and throw one another around. And the other day as I was writing my sermon, I put this illustration in the sermon. After I put it in the sermon, I went home that day and there was a post-it note on the door. And let me read it. Dad. I guess Barrett forgot Dad has another D in it. Barrett wants to play tackle. And they were excited that I got to come home, get off the couch, and get on the floor with them. God knew that we could not make it to Him, so He came to us. He gets on the floor with us. Emmanuel, God with us. God is not a far-off God that created the world and said, you know what, I'm going to put like a timer on it, and I'll wind it up and let it run itself. He is involved in every single aspect of your life and He cares. He has the right to lord over us and to relax from a distance, but He emptied Himself to get with us on the floor. He came to us in our poverty and in our sin to be one of us. And by the grace of Christ, we can now be in His presence. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is not ashamed of you. He's not up in heaven stomping around thinking, when are they going to get their life together? He didn't wait for you to get to Him. He knew that would never happen. But He came to you. He humbled Himself to a manger in order to show us how great His love is and the desire that He has to make us His own. He's the giver of life, the creation. He was there at creation and He humbled Himself to be born of a virgin's womb. He left His rightful place in heaven where the angels worshiped Him. Angels were worshiping Him. He sat down at the right hand of God. He left a place with streets of gold to come into a manger in a backwoods town of Nazareth. And He did it for you. I don't know where you are this morning. If you came in here on a high because Christmas is here and things are going well, or if you're experiencing the opposite, if you had a rough year, If you come in thinking, does God love me? What does God think of me? Look at the lengths that he went to make us his own, in order to pursue you, to love you, to save you, to suffer for you, so that you could be pure and holy. If you read through several books in the New Testament, especially the first three chapters of Ephesians, we see that those that have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, because of what he did on the cross, we are pure and holy and clean, holy enough for God to dwell within us. That's why Christ can live with us. He paid the penalty for our sins. We are righteous because he is righteous. How clean and how righteous are we? As righteous and as clean as Christ is. It's amazing. As we, as a church, are going through the Gospel of Mark, we have studied that Christ in the very first chapter was tempted in every way that we are. And yet he did not sin, which made his atonement acceptable. The birth of Christ was plain, I believe, when sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve first turned from God, when they chose their own path. God had a path to get back to us. God came to us. You should never get sick of thinking about that. God came to us. I believe it was through Joseph, his father, a hardworking carpenter in a small town, that Jesus learned his first lesson of trusting God with everything. He was constantly misunderstood throughout his ministry. Have you ever been misunderstood? How frustrating is that? No one gets me or what I'm going through. Jesus knows that. He experienced that. He knew the betrayal of a friend in Judas. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 says Jesus would be the man of sorrows. He was made like us in every way. He's gone through what we have been through, yet he did it perfectly because he knew that we couldn't. Because the plan all along was not just the manger, but the cross. And it's fun to talk about the birth of Christ. But the birth of Christ without the crucifixion and the resurrection isn't the story. And so as we tell this Christmas story about this baby that was born in a manger, we have to tell the whole story, the whole gospel. The whole plan of Jesus was for him to be our deliverer, for God to come to his broken children that had betrayed him to give us access. That was always his mission. And because of that, he always carried our burdens on his shoulders. From infancy to death, the full weight of humanity. Why do you think in Luke chapter 2, when most scholars think Jesus was 11, 12 years old, when his parents had that home alone moment? You guys seen Home Alone? Mom realizes on the plane that they had left their son at home. Kevin! Mary and Joseph had that same moment. They're heading back to Nazareth from Jerusalem and they notice, we lost the Son of God. Can you imagine? We were given one job. God's going to be so ticked. Headed back, looked for him for 3 days, and they find him in the temple because he knew. He knew. When there is temptation, when there's suffering, Christ knows. When you have those thoughts, does God love me? Is any of this real? God knows we have those moments. He walked in our shoes. He had real grief and real pain. Yet Emmanuel, he chose to come for us. Look at the lengths that he went to come for you. God has not left you. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. He moved heaven and earth for Emmanuel. He sent his son and he lived and he died for us. And then he ascended to heaven, but he left us with the Holy Spirit, the helper that strengthens us and reminds us that there will be a day when things won't be this way. There's a coming a day where there is no more cancer, there is no more miscarriages. That will be replaced with worship. Worship of a God that is all good, all the time. Not only did he leave us his Spirit, he left us each other. He left us the church. I know we can rely on him. I know we can rely on his word. But we also have one another to help us through this life. I'm not sure how people go through their lives, especially the really difficult parts, without a church family. Tragedy without a good church family, I don't know how people do it. That is what a church is. It's a family that takes care of each other. They give each other a hard time, sure, because that's how you tell each other you love each other. But one that encourages and prays for each other. That holds each other accountable, not because I have it figured out, but because we are united by the one that does. So we together, we get to exalt him. We get to worship him, the God that came to us. And so the story of Jesus becoming here on earth, God with us, and dying and being resurrected, that becomes our story. That is who we are, Christ in us. So that no pain that you walk through, no difficulty is empty. No difficulty is empty without purpose. Because we know that God has come. People for centuries wanted to get a glimpse of God. And people knew that they could provide a sacrifice for God's people, yet they could never get anywhere near the Holy of Holies. One of my favorite parts about reading the Christmas story is the shepherds. The ones that could literally provide the sheep for people's sacrifices, yet were completely impure and unclean and could get nowhere near the Holy of Holies. Nowhere near Jewish enough to step in even the building, the tent. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were the first to get a glimpse of God. And they had no shot of eternity without God coming to them. Do you relate? Not only did he come to the shepherds, he chose Mary and Joseph. Very average, salt of the earth. They were poor, not the shepherds poor, but just very average, good people. And who else did he tell? The wise men, right? Three kings. Look at the diversity of who Jesus told. Why do you think that is? Because he's opening the doors for everybody. He came for you. There's no more hierarchy of who can get closer to God. Our righteousness is not our own. None of us are worthy. But because of Christ, because of Emmanuel, those that have him as their Lord and Savior, we're all worthy. I'll end with this. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 45 through 48. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt for the first time what we have felt for centuries. God, where are you? And because our sin was put on him at that moment, it allowed us to not be forsaken by God because of our sins. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling out to Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a staff, and he offered it to Jesus to drink. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And this part's awesome. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies to God's people, was torn from the top to the bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. God is with us. There is no more veil. There is no more separation. Emmanuel. So this season, we have to be moved by the fact that Jesus was born, that Jesus came for you. Think about how much worth and value you are to Him. And that has to be enough because that is who we are now. That is our identity. All of our self-worth is tied up into Him. He gave you His Son. And He adopts us that make His Son our Lord and Savior. He cannot love you more. And because of grace, which we're diving into as we go through the book of Mark, by grace, He freely gives us more than we could ever deserve. And that should show us that God could not love us anymore. If you don't know Him, there's nothing more I'd like to do than to talk to you about that, to pray with you. And if He is your Lord and Savior, we get to tell it to our family. We get to go and be missionaries at our workplaces with our neighbors to go tell His story. It's a story worth telling. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Christmas, for the birth of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, but well beyond that, we're thankful that You had a plan. A plan to forgive us of our sins so that we could spend eternity with You. A plan for You to come to us because we could never make it to You. Lord, and as we get to spend time with friends and family around this season, God, I pray that You give us the boldness to tell that story. Emmanuel, God with us. God, I pray that You help us share it with our words, God, but more importantly, help us share it by being Christ to those that need it, to a world that desperately needs to see His reflection in us. And it's because of what Jesus did that we get to pray this. Amen.
Will you please stand and sing once more? Now, ordinarily, we join hands across the aisle, right? You're going to be holding each other's hands for a while if you do that, because we're going to sing a whole song. So you can hold hands if you want to hold hands for a while, or you can just shake the person's hand and peace be with you, and then let them go.
Jesus rests His glory. While shepherds kept their watch.